Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, August 25th, 2014. And on today's podcast, we continue our discussion of the Islamic State and the reaction of the United States to the stated aims of the Islamic State, i.e. to expand its caliphate and eventually build a pan-Islamic world governed by its version of Sharia law. And number two, to depopulate the Middle East of Christians and eventually the whole world. The civilized world is finally starting to get a good look at this Islamic State and what it really is. As a result, no one is protesting the U.S. bombing, which consists of about 100 strikes so far. The U.S. ponders what it should do. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, said on August 21st that the Islamic State fighters cannot be defeated without a comprehensive approach that takes into account the group's presence in Iraq and Syria. I thought at the time that General Dempsey's statement was preparations for getting the U.S. into a ground war in Syria. But if so, and the U.S. does that, it seems to me that Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad will have to cooperate and assist, which would mean the U.S. changing sides once again. That would be okay if for once we were given an honest answer about why, but lies are the rule of the day. Without Assad's cooperation, U.S. air forces would have to consider and account for the air defenses of Mr. Assad's regime, which reportedly has sophisticated Russian surface-to-air missiles. As of this morning, Mr. Assad has said he would be open to it. And why not? It would mean his survival. ISIS has made statements threatening to the United States. Their leader, Abu Baghdadi, told his fighters, quote, soon we'll be in direct confrontation with the United States. The U.S. war planners know that our power alone can only weaken and will not destroy. Destruction will perhaps require ground warfare in Syria and Iraq by someone. So this is what 24 years of war has wrought. Back to square one, we have destroyed the strong leaders who kept a lid on things. Now here we are with the lids off and the contents unleashed. Another scenario, of course, would be to bolster the Kurdish units along with the Iraqi Peshmerga assisted by U.S. air power. This would require cooperation with Turkey, a U.S. ally, which is always suspicious of the Kurds on their border. In the meantime, U.S. surveillance aircraft and intelligence sources continue to search for high-value targets and identify ISIS command and control centers, although U.S. intelligence denies looking for targets of Islamic leadership. The president has to deal with this crisis, whether he wants to or not. He has obviously reached a point where he doesn't care what anybody thinks about him and what he does. This is a very dangerous point for an American president to reach when we have so many enemies. And it is obvious that these enemies sense weakness. They sense a power vacuum, and they are trying to fill it. A headline in Saturday's New York Times said, quote, U.S. isn't sure how much to fear ISIS at home, despite the harsh words. This headline was in response to Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel's fear-mongering statement that ISIS is just about the worst and most fearsome thing ever. That's a paraphrase, of course, but that's essentially what the man said. Well, the U.S. does have some things to worry it, worrisome things in this crisis. In order of importance, I will list them for you. They are, number one, a weak, detached, unconcerned leader who is surrounded by sycophants who don't seem capable of saying to General Dempsey, General, go do what it takes, and I'm with you. Number two, ISIS reportedly has hundreds or thousands of fighters with U.S., British, and German passports, which would make attacks inside the United States much easier. Number three, the U.S. population is war-weary, tired of war, with having fought chicken littles for 24 years. As Peggy Noonan said in her Wall Street Journal column in the weekend edition, quote, one of my fears in the early years of the Iraq war was that if it proved to be the long war, if no weapons of mass destruction were found, if sustained unrest showed Saddam Hussein was the garbage pail lid who kept the garbage in his nation from spilling out, it would mean that sometime in the future, when America really needed to fight and had to fight, she would not. I feared the war supporters would be seen to have cried wolf, and someday there would be a wolf, and no one would listen. Now there is a wolf. Well, those are the words of Peggy Noonan. Well said, I would say. Well, what should President Obama do? He should request authorization from Congress to use force so that we show some degree of unity in this thing. Then try to unite the civilized world, and we'll see who in this world is civilized. Finally, in closing, folks, I have some good news for you. The ISIS press officer who said that ISIS would, quote, raise the flag of Allah over the White House is dead, killed by Syrian forces. Who says I'm negative all the time? That's the way I see it, folks. This is Darrell Castle. Until next time, thanks for listening.